The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. This week we're going to be considering radio and radio advertising. And my guest is Freddie Shearer, Managing Director of Star Radio. Freddie, welcome. Could you tell me a little bit about Star Radio?
Hello, Kiran. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Yeah, so Star covers the majority of Cambridgeshire, serving a potential audience of more than 500,000 adults. And we have a combined weekly reach of just over 50,000. And actually, we celebrated a birthday recently. Star turned 21 back in June, and we are now one of the only a few completely independent radio stations broadcasting entirely from Cambridgeshire to Cambridgeshire.
So you said you're one of the few completely independent. So does that mean that a lot of the radio stations that we would listen to are not independent? They're controlled by a conglomerate or something?
Yes, that's right. So commercial radio has gone through a lot of consolidation over the past 15 years or so. And it does mean that the vast majority of local commercial radio stations are now owned by large organisations, Global and Bauer being the biggest of them.
How does that work? Someone like Bauer Media or Global, do they have a sort of set central policy, and that's where an independent would be different?
That's correct. And this is one of the big changes that we've seen in commercial radio over the past couple of decades, where the large operators who have taken what have been a lot of standalone stations with their own local identities and names and presenter lineups and simply rolled out a national brand to them. So, for example, if you remember in Cambridgeshire, there were stations like Q103 and Hereward. They changed to Hearts back in 2009. And it means also that there's much more network programming these days. So a lot of shows that you will hear come from one of the network centres, either in London or Manchester.
Okay, and I hadn't actually realised that radio was so strongly regulated. So your regulator is Ofcom?
It is.
And what do they control?
I mean, radio is a very tightly regulated industry, probably one of the most tightly regulated forms of media. So they will set minimum expectations in terms of, for example, where your programmes are broadcast from, the quality of content that goes out. So they will regulate whether you're doing local news correctly, for example. They're interested in whether you're delivering competitions in a fair and compliant manner. And there's a whole code that Ofcom has that broadcasters must be fully aware of and must be fully compliant with. And indeed, if you're not, the punishments can be quite severe.
What sort of things can they do to you?
Well, it can vary from fines to having your licence period reduced, even the ultimate sanction of your broadcast licence being removed altogether. But generally speaking, companies don't want to get in trouble with the regulator when they rule against a radio station, for example. It's all in the public domain. And there are, of course, reputational ramifications to consider.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the history of Star. You said Star has had its sort of 21st birthday. Tell me a little bit about Star's history and also perhaps how radio has changed over that time.
Radio has changed seismically over the last 21 years. Star has also changed and has grown a lot over that time too. So Star started out life as a small community licence in Cambridge back in 1998. It had a small transmitter in the city centre of Cambridge, which served around probably about 120,000 people or so. Over that time, it's changed names, it changed hands as well. It had a number of different names like Cambridge Red, 107.9 The Eagle for a short time as well. UKRD Group decided to put the Star brand into Cambridge, in amongst a number of its other stations at the time. And it's continued to be Star ever since then, with slightly different presenter lineups, slightly different marketing policies, and slightly different music. And fast forward now to 2022, and Star is very much about playing songs from the 70s, 80s and 90s. So we are what you might refer to as an adult hits station. It's a fun mix of tunes. All the music is upbeat. We have presenters who know and love the area very well, and indeed voices who are quite familiar to this audience as well. So, for example, Roz and Josh, who host our breakfast show, worked with me over at Hearts back in the day, and they've hosted this show here for the past 3 years or so.
Yes, it's hard to overstate just how intimate radio can be, isn't it? You do get to know a voice.
You do. Radio is unlike a lot of other media in that it's consumed in a much more intimate way than, say, television. radio is a real escape from reality. It's a friend. It's an entertainer. People become fans of the radio station as they do the artists that it plays, for example, and they really do see their presenters as friends. And it's really interesting that, you know, for example, if a feature on The Breakfast Show doesn't play at its usual time, or the personalities don't turn up for their shows unexpectedly, it can really spoil thousands of people's mornings. Mm. You know, we know that people even time their days according to when a feature or a competition is on the air. So, for example, we have a competition called the Ultimate Ear Test. And we know that people might, for example, know they already have to be on the Milton Roundabout by the time that competition goes out if they're going to make it to work on time.
Yes, I think, I mean, I'm obviously an avid radio listener, otherwise I wouldn't be a podcaster. And yes, I completely recognise that you do sort of time your day and go, well, I can have a last cup of tea because such and such feature hasn't started yet, is whatever station you're listening to. So, and it is interesting how much presenters are seen as friends and somebody that you know in more of a way, I think, than TV does.
Yes, that's it. I think the difference is that, well, one of the differences, of course, that your favourite radio show is on for 3 or 4 hours a day. Your favourite TV show might only be on for an hour a week. And it's also the way that people consume radio as well. So, you know, even in the year 2022, we know that people's radio alarms go off to the radio, or people's smart speakers are timed to come on playing a station like Star Radio. And so the presenters are there. They're in their ears first thing in the morning. They're there when they're having breakfast. They're there in the car telling them what the traffic jams are looking like. You spend so much time hearing those personalities, hearing what they have to say about the world, hearing their take on what's happening in the world, and also hearing about them as people. And it's amazing how, even after a short period of time, listeners just feel like they know these presenters, you know, to the point that if they meet them, for example, in the studio or at an event, they, you know, we will often have listeners, you know, referring to something that was done on the show 2.5 years ago.
Yes, as a listener, you do have that sort of feel about it. So, moving away slightly from listeners and thinking about businesses who might perhaps be considering advertising on the radio, why do you think it's relevant to advertisers?
Let me answer that with another question. How many people do you think listen to the radio every week?
Oh, now there's a question. I have absolutely no idea.
All radio has a weekly reach of 89%.
Of
the UK population, 15 plus. 9 out of 10 people listen to radio every single week. All BBC radio has a 61% reach. Commercial radio has a 67% reach.
Okay, so how is that measured? Who measures this?
Audience is measured by RAJAR, which is jointly owned by Commercial Radio and the BBC. And they've been doing this for a very long time using largely paper diaries as the method of recording listening. And there are some electronic methods now being introduced, but the vast majority of it is done through a survey, and it involves diaries being given to people in particular postcode sectors, and those people being asked to record exactly what radio stations they've listened that week and for how long they've listened to them too.
Yes, I've been one of the people that was asked to complete a survey. I was very chuffed to, and it was only completing it, because you literally write, you know, Monday the date and the time you first start listening, and then the stations that you're listening to, and then when you stop and if you go off and then do something else. So it is quite a manual process, as you said, but it is quite interesting at the end of the week you realise just how many hours you have been spent listening to the radio, because it's on in the background when you're doing other things.
It is, that's right. And actually, you know, most people these days have some sort of smart device in their home, whether it's a smart speaker or just playing the radio station through their laptop while they're busy working from the kitchen table. So it's interesting what you say there. But, you know, people are surprised. Even people who say they don't listen to the radio, they do. And some of those people are actually listening for several hours every week.
So to come back to the advertising question, so you've said it's got radio generically has a massive reach. Okay, a proportion of that is the BBC, where obviously you can't advertise. So there's other stations, commercial stations, where you can. So what sort of businesses use radio advertising?
It's a huge range of businesses who advertise on radio and who get results from radio. So a station like Star will have national advertisers. So we're represented by Bauer Media for national sales. So you'll hear all the national brands advertising on Star, right down to much smaller local businesses. But what we always say is it's not necessarily about how much you spend, it's about how long you spend it for.
Okay, so there's two things I want to unpick there. One was you said that nationals use Bauer Media. So how does that work? Because I think one of the things that advertisers would be interested in is how you actually buy advertising on the radio. So obviously one way of doing it is to do is to go through a media agency. Is that right?
That's correct. So for a station like Star Radio, which is independent and not owned by any large company, we're represented by one of the large radio operators in the UK, in our case, Bauer Media. So when a national brand wants to advertise across the UK on radio, they will buy a campaign. It's usually purchased on what we call impact. So they will be looking to reach a certain number of ears over a certain amount of frequency across either parts of the country or across all of the UK. And Star will generally be automatically included on those plans.
But if you're local and you wanted to approach a local radio station, be that Star or another one, how does that bit work?
It's as simple as picking up the phone to your nearest radio station and having a chat with the very friendly, helpful staff in the station. So, yeah, we get a number of inquiries coming in every single day from companies of all sorts of sizes and shapes and setups. There is a package that will work for the vast majority of clients, regardless of whether they have huge marketing budgets or whether they, you know, they're very budget conscious. The most important thing with all advertising, of course, but in particular with radio, is making sure that you firstly get the message right. You know, that there are adverts that I'm sure that stick out in your memory that, you know, that maybe haven't even been on for years, that just, you know, are synonymous with that particular brand. So the message is important. It's about gaining that recall. But it's also about frequency as well. So being on all of the time. So thinking about how people consume radio, the fact that people listen at all sorts of different times a day. What's really important is making sure that you have a spot plan that runs over as long a period of time as your budget can possibly stretch to in order to get the return.
Okay, so if it's about how long and how often it's repeated, how often should you change the creative? Is there a sort of rule of thumb on that?
No, there isn't. We normally recommend that clients try to keep their messaging fresh, but it's an interesting line because you need to make sure that your advertising is getting people's attention, that you're repeating it enough, that your brand is gaining equity in the local market. But you're right, it's important that that an advertising message doesn't just become noise in the background, and there is a risk of that happening if creative simply isn't attended to, simply isn't refreshed for, you know, several months at a time. So some advertisers will keep their messaging fresh by simply running two or three different pieces of creative on rotation. Some brands might, for example, have a sung jingle on their advert, what we call a sonic. You'll be familiar, I'm sure, with the whistling melody that you hear on the McDonald's TV and radio adverts. So it might just be that you have the core sound to your message is consistent across all of your advertising, but you might introduce what we call a call to action. So that might be a special offer. It might be a particular product range. It's important that you get the message right in the first place, that you work with the radio station, if it's radio that you're buying, who will always advise you how best to place your spots across the schedule as well. And certainly Star is very intelligent with the way that it places advertising so that it reaches the widest possible audience, but also being open to refreshing creative every so often so that you continue to get the value from your investment over that long period of time.
Okay, and how do you measure the return on investment of a radio advertisement?
Well, ROI is very important, and this is a question that we get asked almost all the time when we're talking to potential clients. A lot of research has been done into this by Radio Centre, who is the official industry board, as it were, for commercial radio. And I've got some quite useful stats here, which have really sort of been borne out by the success that we've been seeing with clients in our local market. So brands who use radio get their money back nearly eight times over on average.
Gosh.
And there's another stat about shifting budget away from, or shifting some budget away from other media into radio. And this research showed that if existing budgets are reallocated from other advertising to give radio a 20% share of overall spend, campaign ROI increases by a further 8%.
Okay, so the research is suggesting that there is a real return on investment for radio advertising. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about podcasts. Bear in mind, we're on a podcast. How do you feel that radio and podcasts fit together?
Oh, they fit together very well. We simply call it audio. And as podcasts continue to grow, it further encourages people to consume audio through not just traditional means, but through their mobile phones, through smart speakers and so on. Radio operators often branch out into podcasts, and it's another way that actually radio can, or radio personalities in particular, can continue to grow that relationship with their audience, because when the show's not on, your favourite presenters can be streamed or downloaded on any device on their podcast, for example. You know, and that might just be best bits of their show. It might be original content that you don't get on the radio. It might be something that's slightly more edgy than the content that you get on the radio. So podcasting is definitely something that radio has got behind and certainly sees the future potential with.
And are podcasts also regulated by Ofcom?
No, they're not. But if it is a podcast we're producing, we'll still apply the same attention to ensuring that the content is fair and decent and properly accurate. But no, unlike with broadcast media, podcasts aren't regulated by Ofcom.
Freddie, thank you so much for your time and explaining the importance of radio and where it can fit in with advertising campaigns. Can we finish just talking about a little bit about how one uses one budget on the radio, so the best ways of getting that ROI?
Absolutely. Well, I talked earlier about getting the message right and also getting the frequency of that messaging right as well. So one of the pitfalls that some companies find themselves in is finding some budget to start advertising and then deciding that they need to pull it, they need to save a bit of money. And the reality is nobody has ever saved their way to success. And the problem from a marketing perspective, and I'm sure this is something that you talk about at length yourself, is that you have to keep the communication with your future clients going all of the time. It's very inefficient to spend a little bit of money on marketing and then switch it off. Because as you switch off your advertising, you switch off your potential customers. And we call that the helicopter effect. It takes a lot of fuel to get the helicopter up in the air. When you land the helicopter, you then have to take off again. It's very much the same with advertising budgets. The very long cycle that there can be from consideration to evaluation to finally reaching the point of buying a company's product or service. And when we talk to our clients, we call it the difference between today customers and tomorrow customers. So for example, you know, if you heard an advert for shoes, would you go out and buy them now? No, because you probably don't need them. But if a particular shoe brand was top of mind and you'd heard their ads a lot and you'd seen some digital advertising from that particular brand, would you be ready to buy that company's product at the time that you actually needed some new shoes? Well, probably yes. But on top of that, we now talk about the loyalty loop, which is a new thing really in radio marketing, but it's where we encourage brands and companies to continue engaging with their customers after the point that they bought their particular product. And it's why companies like McDonald's never stop advertising, and they spend a significant amount of their budget on radio. I mean, sure, we all know what McDonald's is and what they do. Whether we eat there or not is a different matter altogether. But for them, it's about always being top of mind, continually talking to their current and potential customers just to avoid those customers of tomorrow drifting over to another chain and then becoming a regular customer of their direct competition instead. So that's the cycle that we talk to our customers about. And it's why we say, try to find a message for your brand that really works and work with the radio station to make that happen. Avoid the temptation to pull a campaign after a few weeks because you're not necessarily seeing a huge amount of inquiries coming in, because it takes time. It takes a lot of time to build. But when your brand becomes known to a radio audience, it becomes famous in their minds. But once you've reached that brand equity, you've got to that top of mind status, it's so very important to continue advertising your message, continue talking to those customers, your existing customers and the customers of tomorrow.
That's great. And I love the helicopter effect idea. And I do take your point that you have to, that you need less fuel to keep a helicopter hovering, so she knows nothing about helicopters, than you do to go to land and take off. Freddie Shearer, a Managing Director of Star Radio, thank you very much for your time and for your insights.
Thank you.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.